I have had the luck of having and have many very good friends in the American political movement, the left political movement in the United States, in different parties and in different organizations. One of my dearest one is Gloria Larriba, our next speaker. Tirelessly and wholeheartedly committed to many causes, especially the cause for the freedom of the five. Gloria.
Sisters and brothers, it is really great to see you here today. I know we're all very proud of ourselves. It has been, as Francisco said, a very long journey, whether you just drove in from Cleveland or the rest of Ohio, Chicago, from Boston, those compañeros who came from Montreal and Quebec, whether you came by bus from New York or Philadelphia, or whether you flew in from Miami, from Tampa, and from Key West, the Cuban community. It's the largest contingent, as well as Fort Lauderdale, Los Angeles, Oakland, San Francisco, Eugene, and all the places in between, even from my hometown of Albuquerque, New Mexico. I salute each and every one of you on behalf of those of us who organized this for all the hard work that you carried out to build a mobilization. We in the National Committee to Free the Cuban Five, when we first proposed the march to the White House and this forum, we didn't expect that people would show up by the thousands. And for lack of a better word, I have to call you all diehards, because you were determined to come here to Washington to let George Bush, representing really the people of the U.S., who know about the five and those who are going to know about the five, that we demand their freedom and we won't stop till they're home with their families. But I think I am precise in saying it's a vanguard action for the people who have learned and who have consistently stayed in supporting our brothers. The march is precisely what Gerardo, Ramon, Antonio Fernando, and René's struggle for freedom needed. It needed it at this moment because of the decision against them on August 9th, because of this outrageous consideration by the government to let Posada Carriles go free and not be extradited to be tried in Venezuela, and because of the supposed war on terror that the Justice Department, that the U.S. government is carrying out against other peoples. Just think about it. On August 9, they were denied a new trial, despite the powerful arguments by the defense and their case, because they said Miami is a perfect place to have a fair trial for the Cubans. And then just 2 weeks ago, on September 11th, it was recommended by a magistrate that Posada be released because Alberto Gonzalez has not called him a terrorist. As others know, the barbarous acts against Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffitt and the 73 martyrs on the Cubana Airlines, they are here present with us. There's no better time than today. And each one of you made it happen. The Cuban Five were not the first, nor will they be the last patriotic Cubans who've entered the dangerous territory of Miami to defend their country. They are, however, the first Cubans who the United States government obsessively persecuted since they were arrested 8 years ago. And it's because they thought with the collapse of the Soviet Union that Cuba could be and would be done away with. 40 years of blockade didn't do away with Cuba's revolution. An invasion and another massive invasion plan didn't do it. So terrorism, state-sponsored terrorism by the U.S. government, has become the weapon of choice for the last 45 years. The five accepted a dangerous mission. They had to mingle with the fascists. They had to talk like the fascists in order to become the most effective anti-terrorists that they were. They worked in low-paying jobs while they carried out their duty. They lived in Miami and Tampa, in the belly of the beast, looking, keeping vigilant, winning the confidence of those terrorists, and all the while disrupting their plots. They saved lives. And how dare this government keep them in prison 1 minute longer? I'd like to give you an example of their heroism. When René González flew away from Cuba in 1990 in a small plane and landed in Miami, declaring himself a defector, it was a public act of renunciation to his revolution that he loved so much. He suffered the alienation of even his father, who was so upset he didn't talk to him for years. But he had to be effective and not even say a word to his family. And yet, when you talk to René, or you write René, or you get a letter from him, he, like the other four, are very proud of what they've done, and they regret not a moment of the sacrifice or the punishment. It's the men that they are. By his action, René very successfully infiltrated Brothers to the Rescue that was developing plots of vengeance, violence against Cuba that grew more threatening, and finally, by 1996, the head of Brothers to the Rescue, José Basulto, was informing the brothers and the five that he was planning to use bombs in mass rallies in Havana to kill and maim Cubans. Cuba didn't shoot down the Brothers to the Rescue planes for the fun of it or because they wanted the blockade to be severely tightened, which is what happened when Clinton signed the Helms-Burton Law after the shootdown. They did it to stop once and for all the blatant acts of terror that no country or people could tolerate. And you know what? The plane invasions stopped after that moment. That was Cuba's right to defend itself. And Gerardo Hernández has double life because if he wins victory of one, they want to have another hanging over his head. It's why we want complete exoneration for them, and we won't rest till they're free. They punish him because his wife, Adriana, wants a child. They want children. And they won't let her enter the United States even to hold him, even to kiss his face. They don't want them to see each other's eyes because they want to demoralize and defeat them. And they'll never be defeated. They never will be. When Ramon, his mother passed away while he was in mission in Miami, and his family didn't know he was in Miami. He came home before she died and stayed with her a few months. He was allowed to come home in a break in his mission in order to be by her bedside. And he told me when I visited him that his mother was a revolutionary. She supported the struggle against Batista, and she would have loved to know what he was really doing. But he had to keep silent to be effective. And he said, I would love to have told my mother, Mother, this is what I'm doing, and I'm really in the United States. So after she died, he wrote a beautiful poem that's on our website that said, Mother, now you know the why of my silence. Fernando is also, he and his wife Rosa Aurora are without family too, without children, because they spent their young lives for him to go abroad to be able to follow Orlando Bosch, who is allowed to remain on, get on Miami television and speak about his crimes and stop one scintilla short of admitting that he was accomplice with Posada in killing the 73 people. Fernando González remains strong. And Antonio Guerrero, you've seen the poetry that comes from behind the prison walls, who has become a stellar artist and who sends his poetry and his words, his beautiful prose around the world, and who gave us a poem that we read this morning where he's telling us to stay strong and he's telling us to stay united so we can be as effective as possible for them and for all people. They are showing us how to remain steadfast no matter how hard the road may be. but we can't simply admire them. We have to fight for their freedom. I know you all understand that. Every night they go to bed locked up behind the prison walls. You've heard powerful testimony from Francisco and Livio, and you, as supporters of the Cuban Five, will have more information today that very few people in this country have. We've been fighting to break this blockade and this outrageous injustice against them. You can each help us strengthen that network. You can become an organizer if you aren't already. You can be their voice on the outside. Every classroom in high school, university, church, mosque, temple, every cafe, library, every union hall, every street corner can be a place to teach others about the Five and about Cuba's right to its sovereignty. Our slogan is, when the U.S. people learn about the case of the Five, the real story, they will demand the freedom for them as well. When they start to see on television, in newspaper and radio, in the streets, like the great posters we plastered in D.C. How many of you saw posters when you were driving in? There were a lot of young people out there. Night and day. Think of the house party you could hold and show the Mission Against Terror video, for example. You can invite speakers. There's a whole lot of things to do. I won't go on about that. But 1,000 people will learn about them with every act that you carry out. In the National Committee, one of our biggest efforts, and that of everybody here, has been to break through the media. You know that when we made a call, many of you donated the money that gave us $50,000 for a full-page ad in the New York Times on March 3rd, 2004. And it was a beautiful. Nobody saw a word of text. You didn't have to go to your groups and say, do we approve what's been said that's going to be published? Everybody gave money because that ad got finalized just days before it published. And we got a tremendous response. And even beyond the people who saw the pages of the New York Times, which reached millions, we know that it was that faith in the Five that kept everyone together in really concentrating our efforts. That's what it needs. We need to unite and keep our efforts together. But now, we are starting to turn the corner on more media coverage. On June 3rd, the first national newspaper outside the Miami Herald, the Washington Post, published a really significant article, actually very positive about the Five. And it's that when they started calling in the press the Cuban Five, not the Cuban spies. And then the Los Angeles Times, because the day before the 9th of August, we had no idea that the decision would come on that day. The day before, we had a press conference by telephone, which actually cost quite a lot of money, because every media that calls in costs us a lot of money on the phone. But when we held that press conference, we shaped the argument, because Leonard Weinglass had just written a document that said, these are the terrorist acts that have been uncovered since the oral arguments of February 2006. And the Los Angeles Times writer picked it up entirely. And you will see on our page, on our table outside, the headline across six columns that says, anti-Castro disclosures could help the Cuban Five. They are a cause now. They're not just something that people that can be vilified in the press. And it's because everyone contributed to that struggle. And just as important to all this, we really need help financially. Each event needs to be a fundraiser for the Five. We began a Five Freedom Fund this last fall. We've never raised this much money before. We said we have to go beyond 50,000 because we can't keep going back and asking people for help. When we were about to prepare for the new trial, all of us, and expected we would have it, we knew that we had a much bigger goal ahead of us. And now it's even bigger. We've raised $105,000 so far. That's a really great accomplishment. We used some of those funds for this march. We decided four-color poster, four-color flyer. Why? because we want to show the warmth of their face, we need to use every advantage possible in order to bring people and draw interest in them. We had to have no limitations in the ability to quickly express leaflets, flyers, posters to everyone who asked us. We didn't even say, we need you to send us some money, right? A lot of you got packages immediately because we can't have any limitations to this fight. Where there's a will, there's a way. It costs us in logistics, flyers, mailing, and this hall rental. We didn't ask for a donation at the door, and we even made these sandwiches. We said we don't want anyone to be hungry on this march, and we made these sandwiches with a lot of love. Those Cubans who flew in from Miami yesterday stood all day making those sandwiches for you. And we called Adriana the other day, and we said, Adriana, tell Olga and the others, the familiares, that we're going to have your presence there in front of the Justice Department to shame Alberto Gonzalez for the fact that the government isn't letting you enter. And of course, we couldn't have a limitation on that. Our efforts are voluntary. Every dollar goes a long way, and it's the most effective use of your contribution. So I am asking you to make a donation today and make a donation tomorrow until our brothers are free. We have a lot of resources. We have a beautiful video, audio that Cuban artists, including Silvio Rodriguez and Sara Gonzalez, made and donated for our efforts. You can get at the table. If you have 20, if you plan to make 20 bucks, you can get Mission Against Terror. Great video. And another beautiful movie, Clandestinos. Anyway, I'll stop there because we have to continue with our program. But the five will be free. The five will be home. Volverán.